Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we will talk to retired general manager of the Carolina Mudcats minor league baseball team and West Lafayette, Indiana native Joe Kramer. We will talk the IU football 2021 schedule. IU men and women's basketball have our big boys moving high school scoreboard update, and a whole lot more. So let's talk sports. We'll start with IU football announcing the 2021 regular season schedule. The Hoosiers will get it started September 4th at Iowa. They will host Idaho September 11th in Memorial Stadium. The Hoosiers will also host Cincinnati, Michigan State, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Minnesota. They will travel to Western Kentucky, Penn State, Maryland, Michigan, and close out the regular season Thanksgiving weekend at Purdue for the Old Oaken Bucket. The Big Ten Championship game is December 4th in Lucas Oil Stadium. Switching gears to IU men's basketball, the Hoosiers split a pair this week, losing Tuesday night 75-71 in overtime to 12th-ranked Illinois. Trace Jackson-Davis, 19 points, 14 rebounds. Race Thompson, 18 points. Al Durham, 13 points. And Armon Franklin with 11. The Hoosiers come back Sunday and get a huge win against 8th-ranked Iowa in Assembly Hall, 67-65. Armon Franklin scored 4 points, but he hit the game winner with 1.6 seconds left to give the Hoosiers the win. Trace Jackson-Davis, another double-double, 17 points, 12 rebounds. Race Thompson, 15 points. The Hoosiers held Luca Garza to 18 points. He got in foul trouble in the first half and scored 16 of his 18 in the second half. The Hoosiers, 10-8 overall, 5-6 in the Big Ten. Up next this Wednesday at Northwestern, 9 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, and Saturday at Ohio State, noon on ESPN. IU women's basketball's game with Rutgers last Thursday was postponed due to ongoing health and safety concerns within the Scarlet Knights program, so it's the second time that game has been postponed, and they hope to get that rescheduled. The Hoosiers did play Sunday afternoon and got a big win in Iowa City, 85-72 against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Mackenzie Holmes, 25 points and 13 rebounds. Ellie Patberg, 23 points. Nicole Cardano-Hillary, 17 points. Grace Berger with 15. However, the Hoosiers got some huge news before the game, as Jalen Penn announced that she will opt out the rest of this season. The senior from Louisville, Kentucky, has played in 11 games, started 10 of them, missed a couple after her injury against Maryland on January 4th. She averaged 9.5 points a game and scored 105 points. She could come back next year because all athletes were given an extra year of eligibility because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Hoosiers will host Penn State this Wednesday, 4 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, and will travel to Illinois next Sunday at 3 o'clock on Big Ten Network Plus. High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving Company local high school scoreboard. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. Girls basketball is complete for 2020-2021 season after all four teams fell in the sectionals this week. Edgewood finishes 15-7. They beat Northview 47-35 last Wednesday and then fell to Brownstown Central 43-32, snapping a game winning streak. Brownstown Central beat Brown County in the championship game of the Edgewood sectional, and they will advance to Greencastle next week for the regional. Bloomington South finishes 11-8, lost to Columbus North 57-43 in last Tuesday's first-round game at East Central. Bloomington North finishes 6-17, loses to Columbus North 52-26, and last Friday's semifinal at East Central. East Central beat Columbus North in the championship game, and they will advance to the Bedford North Lawrence Regional this Saturday. Lighthouse Christian ends the year at 4-17, loses to White River Valley 66-33 in the first round of the Bloomfield Sectional. Bloomfield advances to the regional, beating North Central Farmersburg in the championship game. Boys High School basketball, Bloomington South is 15-4 and has won 8 straight after beating Scottsburg 59-48. They host Columbus North this Friday and travel to Bloomfield Saturday. Bloomington North is 8-2, beats Edgewood 73-44 and Evansville North 79-59. They host Terre Haute North this Friday and travel to Terre Haute South this Saturday. Edgewood is struggling. They have fallen in 5 straight, losing to Bloomington North 73-44 and Sullivan 77-65. They are 10-9 on the season, host Danville on Thursday and travel to Orleans on Saturday. And Lighthouse Christian fell at Wood Memorial 65-40. They are at White River Valley tomorrow and host Vincennes Reveille on Saturday. They are 3-14 on the year. Wrestling was at the Bloomington South Regional. Floyd Central won with 153.5 points. Tell City was second with 110. Bloomington South was third with 88.5. And all three of those teams advance to the semi-state. Edgewood finished in 8th place with 38 points. They did advance one wrestler as Cash Turner won at 126 pounds. South had 2 victories with Cade Meyer at 132 and Tristan Ruhlman at 220. Miles Libby was third at 113. Delaney Ruhlman was second at 138. Aiden Reynolds fourth at 145 and Tough Fender was fourth at 170. All 6 of those wrestlers will advance as well. Chase Hostetler advances for Bloomington North with a 3rd place finish at 152 pounds. The semi-state is this Saturday at 10 a.m. at Jasper High School. Girls swimming sectionals at Columbus North saw Bloomington South win the sectional championship with a score of 458.5 points. The Panthers had 5 individual champions and won 2 relays. North finished second at 357 points. They had 2 individual champions and a relay. Edgewood finished 13th out of 14th with 38 points as the state finals are this Friday and Saturday. Friday 12-5:30, Saturday diving at 9, swimming at 3:30. The diving regionals will also be held tomorrow night at 6 o'clock down in Jasper. And that is a look at our high school scoreboard brought to you by Big Boys Moving Company. When we come back, we will talk to retired general manager Joe Kramer of the Carolina Mudcats. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. Time to welcome in my guest. He is the retired general manager of the Carolina Mudcats minor league baseball team. He is a West Lafayette, Indiana native, and he's also a friend of the family. Joe Kramer is my guest. Joe, a pleasure to have you, and thanks for taking time out of your day to join me.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been a long time. One of these days I need to get back up there and see you and your brother and be a lot of fun. But looking forward to this.
Yeah, so let's explain the family connection. Cousin Steve and you graduated high school in West Lafayette. You've always been around since I was a kid, but you've been down in North Carolina for a long time.
We moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and that's where I started in baseball. I worked for the Nashville Sounds for a couple of years and then was transferred down. The owner of the team, the Nashville team, also owned the team in Huntsville, Alabama. It was a new Double-A team. They'd been around for, I think, 3 years. He moved me down there as the assistant general manager, and I was there for a couple of years. And then an opportunity came in Columbus, Georgia, with a new owner. He made me his first general manager. He had just purchased the team. That's how I got started as a general manager. And we were in Columbus for a couple of years, but the goal always was to move the team, the Double-A team, up Raleigh area, relocate it. So I followed the team up. We were the Columbus Mudcats down there, and eventually we made it up here, and I was the GM here for 30 years, the first 30 years of the organization.
And you definitely had success with your organization, two league championships in 95 and 2003, four division titles, all coming in the Southern League. Of course, four first half titles, three second half titles, 10 winning seasons, seven postseason appearances, five MVPs, three pitchers of the year. A lot of success that you've had over the years. What is it like to get that opportunity to manage a team like that?
Well, you know, in minor league baseball, what you have is an affiliation with a major league team. And the major league team actually is the one who puts all the personnel between the white lines, the field, players, other coaches, trainers, and such. Our job as the minor league affiliate is to run the business side of the whole operation. You know, we took care of field, all the stadium, we did all the parking, concessions, ushers, the whole nine yards. Plus, on their end of it, we handled all the travel, plied them with different, you know, all the different pieces such as meal money, clubhouse managers to be able to clean the clubhouses and all that. So it was a partnership between the two, the owner of the franchise and the big league club that you're affiliated with. So we ran the business side and they ran the baseball side.
You talked about the major league affiliations. You guys have had seven different teams that you've been under: the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Colorado Rockies, the Florida Marlins at the time, the Cincinnati Reds, the Cleveland Indians, the Atlanta Braves, and now the Milwaukee Brewers. How come you've had so many different changes in affiliations? And just explain how that works.
Back when I was there, you had an agreement that would either run 2 or 4 years. We started out with the Pirates and we were with them for 8 years. And when Major League Baseball expanded, two Double-A teams were put in the state of Pennsylvania. So they felt obligated to move their Double-A team to the Eastern League. And then over time, you either have opportunities, you know, maybe they're not putting a winning team on the field very often. Maybe you don't see eye to eye. That's usually the ownership side of the business. Me as the general manager, I'm just running the business side of it. But you get an opportunity every once in a while where you get exhibition games with the big league clubs and you might change affiliations that way. Really weren't supposed to do it that way, but ownership sometimes in minor league baseball at least made it known that if something like that could happen. So we did pop around a little bit, but some of it was due to what I just explained, and some of it was just different opportunities that a big league club might have to be closer to themselves, you know, their location, make life a little easier. So, you know, it was a little give and take on both of it.
One of the teams that you were affiliated with was the Atlanta Braves. Did you ever get a chance to meet the late Hank Aaron?
Yes, I did. Actually, not with the affiliation. We had an all-star game down in Mobile, Alabama, and the name of the stadium named after Hank Aaron. They had a banquet. It was a luncheon, and he actually was at the luncheon, and he was a very gracious man, a joy to sit and talk with.
You guys started in Double A. You were Double A for 20 years in the Southern League. Then you've moved to Class A Advanced in the Carolina League from 2012 to basically last season, because you didn't have a 2020 season due to COVID. Now you joined the South Atlantic League in low single A. Explain how the levels work and why the change in leagues.
We changed the from Double A to High A because Steve Bryant, the owner, had an opportunity to sell the Double A team for quite a large sum of money. It was actually the team that went down to Pensacola, Florida. And with that opportunity, he could then turn around and purchase a High A ball team for half the money, actually less than half the money that he was able to sell the Double A team for. So he kind of cashed out a little bit at that time. That's really why that change was made. The Major League Baseball has pretty much taken over Minor League Baseball. There's still affiliations. There's still owners of teams like there was before. I believe in the old days, they called them a player development contract that you had with a Major League team. Now I believe they're calling them licenses. Really, they've dictated these changes in class levels. And a lot of it to do with spring training and leaving the young guys in spring training, which then moved a lot of High A teams out of Florida, which created other leagues. And it's really not the same setup as it was the last 36 years that I was in it. With that being said, the Carolina League has now changed over to low class A. So that was really dictated by Major League Baseball. It was really a geographic type situation that they needed to do to make everything work out properly.
Well, when we come back, we'll have more of my interview with Joe Kramer after this quick timeout. You're listening to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan from newborn to 89 years old. From term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
You're listening to Talkin' Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson here on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest is retired general manager of the Carolina Mudcats, Joe Kramer. We know that the Mudcats have had a lot of success over the years, and a lot of major leaguers have come through the system.
Yeah, we really have had a lot of players make it to the big leagues. I'm sure it's in the hundreds, you know, over the years. We've been very fortunate to have some really great talent, and that's really what minor league baseball is all about. You might have them for a half a year, and sometimes winning a championship's a little tough because you're playing really well, and all of a sudden your best player or two are been moved up. They're no longer with you, and changes the outlook of the team. Many years we were playing extremely well, and ended up losing a couple guys, and that's their goal. They're supposed to be moving up and make it to the big leagues. But sometimes that doesn't help with winning in minor leagues, for sure. So we've had some great players. Our best player we've ever had was Miguel Cabrera. He was with us for a whole half. The year we actually won in 2003, he was with us along with Dontrell Willis was on that same team that year as well. You know, those two guys went straight to the big leagues. And that was the year that the Florida Marlins won the World Series as well. So we felt like we contributed pretty well to their success that year. And I did end up getting a World Series ring out of that. That's pretty nice. Francisco Lindor, when we were with the Indians, some great ones. You know, back in the day, Jermaine Allensworth, he was a Purdue graduate. He played with us. He made it to the big leagues. And one of my favorite players of all time was Clint Barmas. He was actually an Indiana guy, not an Indiana University, but grew up in Indiana. Shortstop, kind of a blue-collar kid, really could play the game, and just was a great teammate. Played for quite a while. You know, had a really good major league career. Jason Kendall, he played with us. He was on that team that we won in 2005. Juan Pierre, and currently Keston Hira, who is with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's somebody to really watch. He may be somebody with the talent level of Miguel and Francisco. You know, we've also had Todd Frazier. You know, he's done extremely well in that area. And I'm sure a lot of people with the Cubs remember John Lieber. He was with us as well. But many, many players have gone up and played with their big league clubs. Proud that they were part of the Carolina Mudcats family.
There was a lot of guys from the state of Indiana that have played in the majors. Obviously, way back in the day, Bob Friend from your alma mater, West Lafayette, Tommy John, Don Mattingly, Scott Rowland, to name a few. Did you ever have a favorite growing up, or who's a current player that you particularly like?
Well, growing up, I was a big Cubs fan, and Ron Santo was my favorite player. Still remember that 1969 season when kind of collapsed and blew it all, but Santo was always my favorite player. You know, these days, I kind of just watch. You know, I followed Derek Jeter quite a bit back in the day, and but Miguel, I always look up his stats, see what he's doing. I know he's at the tail end of his career with some injuries, but that guy is one of the top five best hitters probably ever play the game, and even in his you know, physical condition right now, you know, if he can stay a little healthy, he's still going to always hit 300. Quite a player to watch, and such talent is amazing to see him go to the plate and be so relaxed, be able to do what he does.
You guys play in Five County Stadium. You started that. It opened July 3rd, 1991. Explain the name behind it. It's a unique name for a stadium.
Well, we're in Wake County, and there's five counties that actually kind of all come to a point. The stadium was real close to that point. Now, we weren't naive. The stadium was more, it wasn't the stadium that's there now. It was more of an erector set. I mean, it was a nice stadium, but not what you see now in minor league baseball or anywhere close to Five County Stadium. But we were hoping that maybe the other four counties would contribute to improve and build a new stadium, which probably was a pipe dream and turned out to be a pipe dream. But Wake County is the county in North Carolina that houses the Capitol. So we were able to work with the city of Raleigh and Wake County to be able to secure the funds to build the new stadium. And it's quite the showpiece. It's a very nice ballpark.
You've been a five-time executive of the year in 93, 1995, 2005, 2008, and 2018. Any of those stand out to you more than the others?
Well, you know, I always like to say if you're around long enough, you win some awards. You know, we all know each other in the game. The game of baseball, minor league baseball, it's a lot of work. You know, I think we as operators appreciate what people do, and we vote on those awards, and every once in a while I guess they gotta vote for me, so that's really the way that, you know, I kind of look at some of those things. But it's an honor. You always like to receive, you know, some recognition for what you do, but you know, I was in the game for 36 years, so some of those things, probably longevity has something to do with some of that stuff.
If you would have ever been given the chance to take a major league job, would you have?
No, I really wouldn't have. You know, minor league baseball, you know, you ran your operation. You were, it becomes a family. At the major league level, you're really, if you're in a ticketing department, that's what you did. If you're in promotions, that's what you did. You know, they're segmented that way. In minor league baseball, you do it all. You know, I pulled tarp when we were out there having to do that. You know, you're involved with the entire operation from top to bottom. That was really the thing that I enjoyed so much about the business was, you know, having your hands on everything that you did. You had that kind of responsibility. And if I'd ever gone to the big leagues, you know, that wouldn't have been the way it would have been. And I enjoyed that part of the business so much.
Obviously, there was no 2020 season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So you decided to retire. What's life like after baseball?
Well, you know, it's time to get my wife retired now, but it's certainly a lot of less stress in my life. I enjoy that. With anything, it's certainly a change of pace and all that, trying to get used to it. I'm enjoying being retired. It is an adjustment. You know, once we can get my wife, Kathy, retired, be able to do a little traveling and doing some things, probably relocate, possibly sell the house and downsize a little bit. Kind of have a dream of wanting to have some water in the backyard, maybe a lake or something like that. You know, live on the lakes. Hopefully something like that can work out. But looking forward to my next challenge, and that's to enjoy retirement.
We mentioned the family connection that we share. My cousin Steve played baseball for Purdue. I was too young to remember that, but I got to hear a lot of stories. So I want you to put the GM hat on and give me the scouting report on my cousin Steve Broccolo as a Purdue baseball player.
Now, you do realize I was best man in his weddings, and he was best man in mine. I have to be careful. But actually, Steve could really hit. His dad, Sam, taught him well. The way he could raise his hands, you know, hit a baseball, really kind of remind you a little bit of Roberto Clemente. Now, you know, Steve wasn't the most agile guy. Well, maybe he was agile, but he wasn't very fast. You need to be able to run to play professional baseball. He didn't have the best wheels in town, but he could play the game. And if you played college baseball, you're a pretty good baseball player. He could hit a baseball. His fielding and stuff was good. His arm was okay, but what he was most outstanding was hitting a baseball, and he was certainly the best that was on our baseball team growing up. He was a good player, though.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate you taking the time out. Thanks for joining me. Hopefully we can do this again soon. It's been too long.
Yeah, I need to get up there, and hopefully this COVID stuff goes away, and I need to be able to see my parents in West Lafayette. They're in assisted living, so it's kind of difficult to get in to be able to see them. But one of these days, get up there and see you and Brother Mark and Brock and catch up a little bit. It'd be great.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
My thanks to Joe Kramer for being my guest this week. Busy week in IU athletics as volleyball hosts Wisconsin Friday and Saturday at 4 o'clock. Track and field will be at the Hawkeye Big Invitational in Iowa City and the Big Spire Invitational in Geneva, Ohio. Both of those are Friday and Saturday. Wrestling will host Maryland on Sunday. Water polo was to host Michigan next Sunday in a doubleheader. That has been canceled due to COVID-19 concerns within the Wolverines program. Men's golf will be at the Mobile Bay Intercollegiate Invitational in Mobile, Alabama, Sunday through Tuesday. Women's tennis will travel to Penn State at 3 o'clock Friday and 11 a.m. on Sunday against Ohio State. Men and women's tennis field hockey all announced their schedules this week. That leaves baseball, rowing, and softball to still announce schedules for the spring. IU volleyball split at Iowa. They are now 2-4 on the season. Men's swimming and diving is now 4-0 after a win at Purdue. Women's swimming and diving is 4-1, beating Purdue and Rutgers. Track and field hosted the Hoosier Hills Invitational. Wrestling lost to Nebraska and Michigan State. Water polo beat Salem and St. Francis twice this week to go to 4-0. Men's golf won the Big Ten Match Play Championships in Palm Coast, Florida. We thank you for joining us this evening, and thanks to our sponsors on behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network. My name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talkin' Sports.
was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.